John chapter number 13 in our Bibles. My wife will tell you I was just talking about it this morning. So we got us. We might not have everything that everybody else does, but I'll sit around the table with my family. A lot of people aren't going to be able to do that. John chapter number 13. Feel like we could go home now and say God's met with us. We're not going to, before you get excited. I am going to go ahead and preach. In John chapter number 13, the Lord Jesus Christ comes to the end of his earthly public ministry. He's not going to heal any more sick outside of Malchus, who got his ear cut off. He's not going to raise any more dead. He's not going to preach anymore to the multitudes. He's not going to stand on the seashore. He's not going to feed the 5,000. His earthly ministry is coming to a close. In less than 24 hours, he'll be dead and buried in a grave. And in John chapter number 13, he brings his disciples together one last time for one more meal. And it's there, at this meeting, at this supper, that the Lord Jesus Christ does something extraordinary. God himself girds himself with a towel and begins to wash the feet of men. Let's begin reading in verse number 2. The Bible says, "And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him." By the way, let me just stop right there. If you don't let God put something in your heart, somebody will. Young folks, if you don't let God put something in there, there's somebody standing in the back of the line waiting to do it for him. Verse number 3 says, "Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. After that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith he was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Now we're going to get into the rest of it for a moment, but here God himself washes the feet of men. Here God himself girds himself with the towel and does the job that a servant would do in the household. Many times, and far greater preachers than me could preach about taking up the cross of Christ, and we need to do that. And preachers a whole lot better than me could talk about taking up the cause of Christ, and we need to do that. But this morning I ask you, of all of us that would take up the cross, and of all of us that would take up the cause, how many of us this morning will take up his towel? How many of us this morning will take up the towel of the Lord Jesus Christ and serve others. We're going to look at that this morning because that towel represents a whole lot of things. There's a whole, before you grab it too quickly, understand that towel represents some things. Before you grab that towel and gird yourself with it too quickly this morning, we're going to see that there's some things that are in that towel. And that towel represents, but before we do, let's go ahead and pray. Father, we love you. God, it's already been good to be here. God, a good Sunday school class this morning. And Father, just how you've met with us in the congregational singing. God, in the special singing. Father, we could just do nothing this morning but just thank you for all the things that you've done. Never ask you for one thing, but just simply say thank you for everything that you've done for me. God, you didn't have to, but you did. You didn't have to provide us a way of escape, but you did. God, you would have been just if you'd have sent every one of us to a devil's hell, been righteous in doing so and never looking back. But we sure do thank you for your goodness and your mercy to us. We thank you for meeting needs. We thank you for walking with us each and every day. And God, talking to us and encouraging us and comforting us and doing what needs to be done in lives. And Father, I pray that you just continue to meet with us. God, your presence would stay here. And God, you'd walk up and down these aisles and in and out of these rows. And God, you'd work in hearts and do what needs to be done. Father, when it's all said and done, we'd be able to look back and say, it's been good today to be in the house of the Lord. Use me, God, for you this morning in Jesus' name. And amen. Amen. As we take up the towel this morning, there's some things that we need to understand that this towel represents. There's some things that go along with this towel. One of the things you have to understand about it, it has to do with humility. When the Lord Jesus Christ took up the towel, he humbled himself to do that again. This is something that the servant in the household would do. If that household had a servant, it would be the servant who washed the feet of the guests. And here it is, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about God himself. I'm talking about the one who had his own feet anointed one chapter earlier. Now wash his feet in chapter number 13. I'm talking about the one in the book of Revelations. The Bible says that the elders fall down and worship him. And here he is kneeling down to wash the filthy feet of men. I'm talking about the one in Isaiah where Isaiah, I saw him high and lifted up, but here he condescends to wash the feet of men. You see, with the towel, there is humility. You cannot take up the towel without humbling yourself to do it. The Lord Jesus Christ, somebody might say, well, Brother Gwen, I want to be a good Christian. You know what Jesus said? He said, he that is greatest in the kingdom is servant of all. Would you believe me this morning if I told you the greatest Christian at Holy Hills Baptist Church may or may not have even stepped foot on this platform? I mean, if God were to reveal to us who was the greatest Christian, we might be surprised to find out who he or she was, because they may have never preached a message, they may have never sung a song, they may have never taught a Sunday school class, they may have never walked up those stairs and been in front of anybody to do anything, but they've served. And God says that's the one that's greatest in the kingdom. In fact, go with me to Philippians chapter number 2. Hold your spot in John. Philippians chapter number 2. Look what it says in verse number 5. It says, let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. You realize this morning the Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who's ever chosen to die. You say, well, Brother Gwynn, I understand that. I mean, there are some people that have ended their lives. Well, I got news for you. Their lives were going to end eventually one day anyway. They didn't choose to die. Now, they might have chosen the moment that they died, and I don't agree with that. The Bible says the issues of death are in the hands of the Lord. It's God who determines these things. It's God who determines when someone is born, and it's God who determines when and how someone leaves this world. But they were going to die anyway. The Lord Jesus Christ was the only one who was never, ever going to die, and he chose to do so. Bible says that he humbled himself and he made himself of no reputation. You see, we got a lot of folks running around who are way too concerned about their reputation. See, there's a difference between character and reputation. Your character is what you are. Your character is what you do when nobody else is watching. Your character is what you are. Your reputation is what everybody else thinks that you are. And see, we got a whole lot of Baptists who are more worried about what everybody thinks that they are than they are what they really are over here. They're more concerned about how they're perceived. They're more concerned about what it's going to look like than what it already is. The Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Jesus didn't care what anybody thought about him. He didn't care what it looked like. He was just going to do what was right regardless. And if you liked it, that's great. And if you didn't, I'm sorry. I'm just going to do what's right anyway. We got way too many folks who are concerned about their reputations instead of being concerned about their character. And here the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. And he humbled himself. In fact, look what it says in the first part. Look in verse number 3, still in chapter number 2 in Philippians. It says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. You see, there are some that take up the towel, but they take up the towel of strife. They take up the towel and they serve, but they do it through strife. They do it because they have to. And buddy, can I tell you something? You can sense that all the way across a room. When somebody's doing something because they have to, when somebody's doing something because they feel like it's their duty to do those things, you can feel that spirit all the way across the room. God doesn't want us to do things because we have to. God wants us to do things because we want to. God doesn't want us to be duty Christians. I'm here because I have to be. I'm doing it because I have to. We ought to do it because we want to. He says, not only do they take up the towel through strife, but they take up the towel through vainglory. Some folks do it because they want to be seen. Come on. Right. Oh, I washed some feet, but I want it in the bulletin next Sunday. I'll wash some feet, but I want to do it on Sunday morning when the big crowd's here. You know, I'm gonna hold the towel with this hand, and I'm gonna take my picture with this hand. And I'm gonna put it on Facebook so everybody can see what I've been doing. God says we do things through vainglory because we want to be seen and we want to be recognized. Like some of these health, wealth, and prosperity preachers and their big church. Brother, you put them on the backside of nowhere with 15 people that can't pay them a full-time salary, they'd be out of the ministry before they could say anything. And here God says you don't do it through vainglory. Watch what he says back in John chapter number 13. When you take up the towel, you have to understand humility. I've told you before, best way to figure out if you got a servant's heart or not, just see how you react when somebody treats you like one. See how you respond when somebody treats you like the help. See how you respond when they treat you like a servant. I say, Brother Gwen, I want to be a servant. I just don't want to be treated like one. See how you react when they treat you like a servant. You'll figure out whether or not you got a servant's heart or not. You'll figure out whether or not you're where you're supposed to be. But when we take up the towel, we've got to understand there's a lesson there to be learned in humility. But then go with me back to John chapter number 13. Look at verse number 6. Not only is there a lesson in humility, there's a lesson in holiness. Look in verse number 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter and said, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Lord, no, you can't wash my feet. Verse number 8, or verse number 7, Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Now watch what Jesus is getting ready to tell him in verse number 10. Jesus saith to him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit, and ye are clean, but not all. For he knew who should betray him, therefore said he, ye are not all clean. Now, most of you probably understand what I'm getting ready to tell you. Some of you may not, but you kind of got to understand the custom of the time. They didn't have indoor plumbing like we do. And may I say, thank God for indoor plumbing. Amen. Especially in the wintertime. So what I mean, they didn't just get to walk down the hallway to go take a bath. They had to go to a special place to do that. And what they would do is they would go and they would bathe their entire bodies, but as they would walk back home or walk to someone else's house, they'd get their feet dirty. And so when they got home or when they got to somebody else's house, they didn't need to take a whole bath. They just needed their feet washed. And that's what Jesus is saying. He says, Peter, when I saved you, I washed you from the top all the way down to the bottom. You don't need to get saved all over again. You don't need to be washed. That's even in our custom. When you take a bath, you say, you know, I bathe myself. But when you go get ready for supper, do you bathe your hands or you just wash them? You just got to wash up, don't you? And he says, Peter, you don't need to get bathed all over again. You don't need to get saved all over again. He says, Peter, what happens is you get saved, you get born again, but as we walk through this filthy world, sometimes we get a little of that junk on us. We watch stuff we ought not watch, listen to stuff we ought not listen to, say things we ought not say, and our feet get a little bit dirty. Now, do we got to go all the way back over there and get saved all over again, get bathed all over again? No, we just need to confess our sins before God and get God to cleanse us. You see, there's a difference between union and communion. There's a difference between relationship and sonship. You see, when I was born 40-some-odd years ago, I mean, my parents were my parents. My biological parents are my biological parents. I can't change that. They can't change that. Probably been a few times they might have wanted to, but they can't change that. My mom's here today. She'd be like, yeah. But once I was born, that was it. Biological mom, biological dad. Nothing changes that. And I understand there's some blended families. I understand there's probably folks been adopted or adopted kids. Thank God for that. I'm just talking about once you're born to those biological parents, they're yours. And there's nothing that can change that. My friend, when we're born again, there's nothing that can change that. Now, have I done things to disappoint him? Absolutely. Have I done things that have made him angry? Absolutely. Have I done things to break his heart? Absolutely. You see, the Bible, not only does it reveal God's will, it reveals God's heart. And when we break the Word of God, when we violate the Word of God, you just don't break His will. You don't just break His commandments. You break His heart. But nothing's ever changed the fact that I'm His and He's mine. See, there's a relationship that's come through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so as they would come through that thing, that back from that bathhouse, their feet would get filthy. Now, I don't know about you. I got four youngins, and you know, sometimes, you know, bath time can be an interesting time at the house. Especially when you're first teaching them how to do it by themselves. You know, where you don't have to go in there and do anything, or you don't have to go in there and supervise. Just like, look, soap, washcloth, shampoo. Get it done. I'm out here. Don't waste a lot of hot water. There's five more people standing in line behind you. And brother, if you don't want a long night tonight, you better well save some for the next guy. And so, you know, they go in there and they, you know, do whatever. Now, I don't know about you, my kids, sometimes, you know, my kids didn't get it right the first time. My youngins would walk out. And, you know, you kind of got to look and look, and I'd look down, and for some reason, I don't know what it is about the feet. They wouldn't wash their feet. I guess they figured just sitting in the tub would take care of it on its own. They didn't have to, you know. You know, my kids go around barefoot. I mean, wintertime, summertime, listen, barefoot. Now, at the beginning, listen, God bless them. I mean, at the beginning of summer, I mean, their feet are a little bit tender. You know, springtime, by the end of summer, they could walk across broken glass and it would not affect them. I mean, they kind of build up that tolerance. And for some reason, I mean, their feet needed washing bad. And they'd come out and their feet would be dirty. And I'm looking at them, I said, did you take a bath? Well, yes, sir. Your feet are dirty. Well, I took a bath, but your feet are dirty. Well, I took a bath, your feet are dirty. You see, folks, when somebody's feet aren't clean, it kind of makes you wonder if they ever took a bath to begin with. See, if somebody's got a whole lot of the filth of the world on them, it kind of makes you wonder if they've ever been to the bathhouse to begin with. Kind of makes you wonder, you know, maybe you just don't need a foot washing. Maybe you do need to go take a bath. Maybe you do need to be washed from the top down to the bottom. And folks, when a lost and a dying world sees God's people and their feet are just as filthy and disgusting as they can be, and they're involved in just as much garbage as the next guy is, it makes them wonder if they really need what we claim to have. And here he comes and he's teaching them. He's teaching them a lesson in humility. He's teaching them a lesson in holiness. That's why we need to get into the Word of God. In fact, you look in Luke chapter number 22. We won't take time to do there. Luke chapter number 22, the disciple, that very night the disciples were arguing over who's the greatest in the kingdom. Can you imagine what that must have felt like when the Lord Jesus Christ lays off his... See, it's a sign of service. When you put on that towel, when he put on that towel, I mean, it was a sign of service. If we put it in our day and time today, it's kind of like wearing an apron. Now, when some of you go out and eat this afternoon, and I mean, your tea glass gets empty and you can't find your waitress, who you start looking for? You start looking for somebody got an apron on. Why is that? It's a sign of service. It's a sign that, hey, I am here to help you. I am here to serve you. And I believe God's people ought to be recognized for some things. And one of the things we ought to be recognized for is our service. God's people ought to be serving people. God's people ought to be helping people. And here they come, and disciples had been arguing. Can you imagine what it was like that night for the disciples to be arguing over who's going to be greatest in the kingdom? And trust me, they weren't arguing, no, brother, you're going to be the greatest. Trust me, no, brother, you're going to, no, not me. That's not how the argument went. No, I'm going to be. No, I'm. How many did you have at your meeting last week? Now say, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. How many decisions you have this year? See, I'm going to be the greatest in the kingdom. And here they are arguing, I mean, just like a bunch of Baptists. Lord Jesus Christ is getting ready to die. Lord Jesus Christ is going to be dead in 24 hours. And they're arguing over nonsense. They're arguing over nothing. Stuff that at that time doesn't amount to a hill of beans. Folks, listen, we got Baptists that are arguing over nonsense. We got kids killing kids. We got babies having babies. Folks are slipping off into a devil's hell, and we're arguing over junk. People are lost this morning, and we're going to stand there and preach for 45 minutes on why you shouldn't wear sunglasses and a colored shirt behind the pulpit. God help us. I wouldn't wear sunglasses behind the pulpit, but I will wear a colored shirt. And here he's teaching them. Not only is this a lesson in humility, this is a lesson in holiness. When you take up the towel, you need to humble yourselves. And you need to make sure that you're holy. Watch what happens. Look in verse, back in John chapter number 13. Look in verse number 21, and we're done. Not only was there a lesson in humility, not only was there a lesson in holiness, but as he took up the towel that night, he taught them a lesson in hypocrisy. Verse number 21 says, when Jesus had thus said, he was troubled in spirit and testified and said, verily, verily, I say unto you that one of you shall betray me. Then the disciples looked one on another, doubting of whom he spake. Now there was leaning on Jesus' bosom one of his disciples whom Jesus loved. Simon Peter therefore beckoning to him that he should ask who it should be of whom he spake. He then lying on Jesus' breast, that's John, saith unto him, Lord, who is it? And Jesus answered, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. And when he had dipped the sop, he gave it to Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. You see, it was already in his heart. According to the first part of the chapter, it's already in his heart. Can I tell you, if it's in your heart as far as Jesus is concerned, it's already a done deal. He didn't say that you're about to do. He said what you're doing right now. It's in your heart, Judas. Jesus said, if a man looketh upon a woman and lusteth after her, where? In his heart. He said he's guilty of committing adultery. If it's in your heart as far as Jesus is concerned, it's already a done deal. And he says, go do what you're already doing. Now, there's a lot of mysteries concerning Judas that I may never understand. But there's one thing that I do understand. Jesus said, or the Bible says, that he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And I know that Judas made a conscious decision to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. Last time I checked, Judas was still a whosoever. Judas was still an all. Judas was still an any. And he made a decision to say, no, I don't want that. And he rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, here's what I want to say. He had his feet washed just like everybody else did. You see, Judas is the reverse of Peter. Peter said, Lord, if I can't have any part with you, I mean top to bottom. He said, Peter, you don't need it top to bottom. He said, you just need a foot washing. That's all you need. But Judas had his feet washed, but he'd never been to the fountain. You see, that part of Judas that everybody could see looked pretty good. That part of Judas that everyone, that all the other disciples, that everybody else could see looked pretty good. His feet look good now. But in that part where nobody else could see was filth and sin and all these different things. You know what Judas was doing? Judas was hiding among Christians. When Jesus said, "One of you shall betray me," they didn't all say, "Gotta be him, man. I've been watching him. He's got some problems." Judas looked as good as everybody else did. When they sent him out two by two, Judas was one of them. When they fed the 5,000, they were passing it out. Judas was one of them. He walked with him side by side. He looked good, but he was lost. I remember when I first got saved, I was 14 years old, or when I got saved, I was 14 years old. And I was kind of, still am in a way, I was kind of backward, and I was kind of shy, and I just kind of came in. I wanted to be in church. It was a desire in my heart now, but I mean, I just didn't necessarily want to be up in front of a whole lot of people. And I mean, I'd sing, but I didn't want to sing loud enough for anybody else to hear me. I mean, I'd sing the songs, but you know, as long as the person behind me or in front of me couldn't hear me, I was fine. I wanted to sing. I didn't like to draw attention to myself. And this may sound crazy, I still don't like to draw attention to myself. In fact, the last time I checked, if I'm drawing attention to me, then it's not in the power of the Spirit of God. Jesus said when he comes, he'll point people to me. And I remember one time somebody said, "Hey, Brother Gwynn, would you like to sing in the choir?" And I'm thinking, "No, I would not like to sing in the choir." But again, I was so backward, I was so shy, I was too scared to tell him no. I didn't want to tell him no. I'm like, "Okay, I'll sing in the choir." I didn't want to. And so I remember that first Sunday morning, I got up in the choir and I got my songbook and I started singing. And I noticed something. People in the choir sing loud. Now out there, they didn't sing that loud. But up here, I mean, this person was singing loud as they could. This person was singing loud. People in front of me. And I, you know, in my 14-year-old mind, I'm thinking, man, if you don't want to hear anybody hear you sing, best place to be is in the choir. Nobody will hear me here. This is great. Out there, I got to keep it down real low. But up, this is the best place to be. This is the best place to hide. If you're lost, can I tell you the best place to hide? It's in church. Not many people come looking for you in here. Now you go out there and you get messed up in a bunch of stuff, they'll come looking for you out there. Some soul winner come knocking on your door out there. They'll hand you a gospel tract out there. But we got a whole lot of people that are hiding among Christians. Got a whole lot of people. You look good out here. And you know how to sing the songs. And you know where to say amen. And you know how everything works. And if anybody said there's somebody here this morning that's lost, nobody would jump up and point to you and say, "It's got to be them." But you know. And the Lord Jesus Christ knew. He knew who would betray him. He knew who was saved and who was lost. Now in a crowd this size, I believe everybody in here can be saved. I believe everybody in here should be saved. But in a crowd this size, more than likely not everybody in here is saved. And I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's hiding out among Christians. I wonder if there's anybody here this morning that's, you look good out here, but you're hiding among Christians. You know, there's never been a time in your life you've asked the Lord Jesus Christ to save you. Never been a time in your life you've come under the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God. Realize that you are lost and undone without Christ. You may be a church member. You may have been baptized in that very baptistry right there, but you've never been born again. You've never been saved. I wonder if there's anybody here like that. Let's all stand this morning. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. I'm going to ask Mark to just pick out a song of invitation. And if God has spoken to you, then I invite you to come. Father, you know the needs. You know what needs to be done. Father, if you've spoken to someone, God, they know what they need to do right now. And God, I pray that you'd give them grace and courage to do what needs to be done this morning. In Jesus' name, with heads bowed and eyes closed. You hiding out this morning? You need to be saved? You got your name on the church roll? You need to be born again. Folks, listen, I know deacons that have been saved. I know preachers' wives that have been saved. I know people that stood in the pulpit been saved. Because they realized he died for the world. But he died for me too. My friend, if you need to be saved, the only guaranteed time you have is today. Maybe here this morning you're saved. Maybe you need to take up the towel. Jesus said, here's the towel. Would you take it up? Would you humble yourselves? Would you go out and serve others and not worry about what everybody else thinks or what everybody else says? Would you just go out and serve and not worry about who gets the credit or how popular you are or how popular you're not? Would you just come and take up the towel? You read the story, my friend. The Lord Jesus Christ laid the towel off to the side. He put his garments back on. The towel's still there. You just come and pick it up and serve. If you need to come, you come on this morning. He that is greatest in the kingdom is the servant of all. Ask him to play through one more verse. If no one comes, then we'll close.